From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 21st day of December 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And then later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, healthcare reform has moved one step closer to the president's desk. It does not include a public option. Negotiators in Europe have made an agreement on climate change. It doesn't appear to be anything more than a roadmap, at least at the moment. And then there's the cap and trade legislation. Even if it doesn't pass, U.S. EPA has newfound authority under the Clean Air Act to regulate emissions. We'll hear all about it during today's edition of the Closing Market Report. And don't forget, as we close out the program in about 26 minutes, we'll talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy about the global agricultural weather forecast. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby wheat settled at $5.19.5 a bushel for the soft red, down 8.5 cents. May at $5.33, 8.25 lower. And July wheat, or the harvest month, at $5.44.25 for the soft red, down 8.25 in Kansas City, where they trade hard red winter wheat. July of next year at $5.39.75, down 7.75 for that harvest month. Corn pit back in Chicago, nearby March, settled at $4 even, up 2.25. May at $4.10.75, up 2.25. And July at $4.19.75, up 2.25. September futures, $4.25.5, 1.5 cents higher in December of next year at $4.32, up 1.75. January soybean futures at $10 and a penny, down 11 cents today. The March at 10.08.5, down 11.5, and the May at 10.14.5, 11.75 lower. July beans at 10.18.75, down 12.75, and the August contract at 10.15.5, down 12.5 cents. January bean meal at $300.80, down 4.60. March at $4.30, lower $295.90. January oil at $38.28, down a nickel on the afternoon. December live cattle futures at $82.22.5, 17.5 lower. Feb's up 72.5 at $85.57.5. That February contract or December contract was actually higher as well. Jan feeders at $94.55, down 17.5. Hogs were 90 cents lower at $64.22.5. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures have settled for the day. They finished the nearby February contract at $74.42. That was up 34 cents. January ethanol at $1.85.1, a penny and 6 cents higher. Natural gas at $5.67.3, down a dime and 9 cents. The RBOB at $1.86.9. That's down 2.5 cents on the afternoon. And heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.94.7, just about 0.9 cents lower. Gold futures for the day at $1,095.40, down $15.40 on their settlement price. The Dow at 10,426, just about 98 points higher on the afternoon. And the U.S. dollar at 78.02 is up 0.20 on the day. The CRB at 274.79, down 135. The Goldman Sachs at 497.85 is down 3.54 in the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like from our own chief meteorologist Ed Kieser and prepared by Mike Sola. He says tonight in the north, cloudy, some snow arriving. In central sections, mostly cloudy, snow showers, some flurries arriving. In the south, mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 22 in the north, away from Lake Michigan, to near 30 in the far south. Tomorrow in the north, cloudy, some showers, snow showers, that is. In central sections, cloudy, light snow, rain showers. In the south, mostly cloudy. Highs will range from 28 in far northwestern Illinois to 48 in the far south. The extended forecast says on Tuesday night, light showers of snow will continue in northern areas, while showers of sleet and freezing rain are possible in central sections, and rain is possible in the south. We'll take a complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour and we talk with the folks at Chesapeake Energy here on the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Monday afternoon. You're listening to Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. On the line with us today to take a look at the agricultural markets and the futures is Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for filling in today for Kurt Kimmel. I hear he's off for a few days as we head into the holiday week.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, so I was off for a few days last week. Well, I was actually working. I was out with the Ag Economist across the state. And, Pete, I'll tell you, as I made my way northward, I was surprised by the number of acres as we passed through Peoria and Galesburg and towards Moline and then back over towards Rochelle in the top of the state of corn that happened to be out and were still being shucked by a lot of farmers in those areas. There seems to me that there's still an awful lot of corn in Illinois left to be captured by the farmer. What do you think?
If you go near Interstate 80 and above, there's quite a bit. And then, like you said, in some of that western area where it was wetter than others, but I do have people finishing up in far northern Illinois and western Illinois this week. So they've made a lot of progress in the last few days.
In fact, it was pretty evident during the Ag Econ meetings that one of the few places that had finished up on time or fairly early was in the southern part of the state. We had a number of farmers in our meetings there, but the rest of the place, I think they were still tallying up what they had brought in with the elevators, and they were still shucking. The farmer numbers were down at those meetings. Yet they were awfully good meetings. A lot of folks from the lending institutions were at our Ag Econ summits. By the way, if you're interested in seeing what took place last week, the PowerPoints are up on that website at the FarmDoc website at farmdoc.illinois.edu. And eventually, I believe Daryl Good and company will all go ahead and take the time to voice those as well, so you can listen to their PowerPoint presentations as well as hear what they had to say. So that's something you can go find. It's at the FarmDoc website. But let's get back to the matter at hand, which was the trade for the day in Chicago. I see the corn finished the nearby contract at $4. Is that important, or did it just happen that way today?
There are some people think it's important to stay at $4 or above. Others said not really. But, I mean, it compared to the beans and the wheat, it closed well, whereas beans and wheat did not. There was early fund buying and everything, but once that quit, we backed off. But corn hung in there and stayed to the plus side.
What's your feeling about the marketplace over this next week and a half as we move through the holiday season? And then does it change very much as we head into January and that final crop production report due in from USDA about middle of January?
Well, there's still a lot of people think that we're going to be sideways back and forth, especially in the corn. I think early December we had a 384 or even 382 low in corn, and then we went up to the 420s, and we're just back and forth in that. There are people still thinking that we will have lots of corn and wheat and beans purchased by funds after the first of the year. Some think that some of that's occurred. Some think that there's a lot more of that to happen in the reorganization or restructuring of what they're going to have in their portfolios, and it's going to be instead of 13% grains, it'll be 30-some percent, and instead of 70% metals and energies, that'll only be down to 35%. So there's good parts there to be thought of, but otherwise, with South America growing a huge crop of beans, anytime we see up moves in beans, there's lots of people willing to sell them.
All right, so if you're a producer and you see talk to me as a producer, and you're recognizing that the index funds may be doing some rebalancing. They'll come in as long only, so they'll be buying. It'll be a temporary pop probably in the marketplace because of that. What do you do for me to help me take advantage of that? Do I hedge it out in some way at that point, or do I become a speculator with you, or both?
I think you mostly do the hedging out and or selling cash, both old and new crop.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to be a speculator, fine, but I think you need to take care of those bushels that you've got and get rid of most of your beans, if not all of them, for this year, and get rid of up to 40% of next year's bean crop. And then on corn, I would be unloading as much as I can of this year's. We're still more bullish corn than we are beans for down the road because of ethanol usage. So, I mean, we would still like to have most of our old crop corn gone, but be willing to hold some of it in towards the May to June time basis. We would be unloading all of our old beans and having up to 40% of our new ones covered.
Anything else we ought to talk about today that you saw in the marketplace before I let you go for the afternoon?
Well, I think when you were talking about acres left, an awful lot of the people that didn't come this week, last week, were out in the field doing field work. I mean, I've talked to several today that are still out doing field work. And the word that we're not going to be able to plant corn next year because we were late harvested, I think, is baloney. I think in almost everywhere, farmers have the wherewithal and the ability to get in there and get that taken care of so they can plant corn next year again.
Indeed, good advice. Thank you very much. I appreciate you being with us for the day.
Thank you.
And that is Pete Manhart. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. He joins us here in the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. He's setting in instead of Kurt Kimmel, who we normally have from that office place. By the way, you can always hear this program anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find this programming, Commodity Week, other daily agricultural programming. It's all at willag.org. Back in a moment with the agricultural news for the afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In today's agricultural news, early this morning, the U.S. Senate voted along party lines for cloture on the health care reform bill. By a vote of 60-40, health care reform moved one step closer to a final vote expected Christmas Eve. Two more procedural votes on Majority Leader Harry Reid's revised package are necessary before it can be sent to a House-Senate conference committee. Washington insiders say those conference committee negotiations could last into January. Converting Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson's vote to a yay was key to the passage. Nelson changed his vote after receiving a promise for tighter restrictions on insurance coverage for abortions, increased federal aid for his home state, and breaks for favored health care interest. Missing is the government-run public insurance plan. The most recent cost estimate for the bill is $871 billion over the next decade. Saturday, President Obama was on his way back from Copenhagen, where he participated in the climate change conference, when he received the phone call that the agreement had been reached on health care. Upon returning to the White House, the president said, "We're on the cusp of making health care reform a reality." Minority Leader Mitch McConnell of Kentucky called the bill a monstrosity and says, "Make no mistake, the bill will reshape our nation and our lives." Well, the Copenhagen WTO Climate Change Conference was extended into Saturday so negotiators could reach an agreement on climate change, but that agreement was not quite what they expected. They wanted a bill with limits on greenhouse gases linked to climate change. They did not get that agreement. The biggest hurdles were thrown up by the United States and China, who were on opposite ends of the table on the question of transparency. China and other developing nations were resisting outside verification of their carbon reduction activities. The U.S. says that's critical to reach an agreement and persuade Congress to pass climate change legislation. Details of the agreement are not immediately known. However, it's believed it would be little more than a broad political document with few details with specifics to be worked out over the next year. Oklahoma Senator James Inhofe was in Copenhagen for those climate change talks, and he had one goal in mind there. That was to make certain the 191 attending the COP15 would not be deceived into thinking the U.S. would pass a cap-and-trade legislation. Speaking at the conference, the ranking member of the Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works said there are political and policy issues that must be addressed before the U.S. Senate will ratify a new climate change treaty. He continued to say at this stage, the prospect of achieving an overnight agreement, one that meets the conditions established by the Byrd-Hagel resolution, are bleak, mainly due to the intractable demands of China, India, and other developing nations. Those demands include more funds to deal with the impacts of climate change and the right to increase emissions, albeit at a slower rate of growth. He also adds that other ideas that have repeatedly been raised by developing nations are simply too costly and unworkable for the United States to accept. On a related cap-and-trade note from Washington, D.C., you know that Chief Economist Joe Glauber from the United States Department of Agriculture issued a report on how the present cap-and-trade proposal would affect agriculture. Nebraska Senator and former Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johanns has been considering what that report might mean.
He said, basically, that 59 million acres of cropland and pasture would go out of production and be planted into trees by 2050. He went on to say that the cost of fuel and oil and electricity will increase by about 22%. And then he pointed out that crop production and beef, pork production will all go down and that food prices would go up.
Johanns called Glauber's report a very important statement.
And it's not good. Let's just be honest about it. This is eye-popping information. Well, then a little while later, the Secretary of Agriculture, and of course I was in that position, the Secretary of Agriculture starts talking that report down and saying, well, I think there's more current information out there and maybe more thorough information. And here's what I would say to that. It's the responsibility of the Secretary to make sure that the report of the economists is thorough and complete.
Still, Johanns wants to know, what's going on here?
And I don't get it. I don't understand why you would talk down a report that hasn't even been released yet, although there's been public statements about what's in the report. It is that current and that recent. And so I just said, what's going on here?
That was Nebraska Senator and former Secretary of Agriculture Mike Johanns. And finally today, the National Corn Yield Contest winners have been announced. Advanced production techniques, informed growing practices, and improved seed varieties helped corn growers achieve high yields in the National Corn Growers Association's 2009 National Corn Yield Contest. Despite the challenging weather conditions that plagued the Corn Belt throughout the year, NCGA reports the entrants continued to far surpass the national corn yield average, even doubling it in some circumstances. The 24 winners in 8 production categories had verified yields averaging more than 300 bushels per acre, compared to the projected national average of 162.9 bushels of corn to the acre. While there is no overall contest winner, yields from first, second, and third place farmers' overall production categories ranged from 287 to 346 bushels to the acre. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up, did you know whether or not that climate change legislation we've been talking about works its way through Congress and gets passed on to the president's desk? It is nearly a foregone conclusion that some type of greenhouse gas regulation will come out of Washington, D.C. in the year 2010. I'll have more on that story and how it will impact agriculture. The climate change legislation on the Hill in Washington has a provision called cap and trade that would impact farmers of all types. Well, here in the Midwest, home to the world's largest corn crop, it would tax the fertilizer and fuel used to grow that crop. Well, that's a cap. It would also provide a way for landowners, if not farmers, to make money on the carbon locked up in their soils. That's a trade. The thing is, U.S. EPA already has authority to regulate greenhouse gases under the Clean Air Act. And if the cap-and-trade legislation fails, University of Illinois agricultural law specialist Brian Endres says one way or the other, farms will be regulated.
EPA has authority under the Clean Air Act now to regulate greenhouse gas emissions. And this was a result, or led from, it was a result of the Massachusetts versus EPA Supreme Court case in 2007. And then EPA made what's known as an endangerment finding in December 2009, finding that greenhouse gas emissions endanger public health and welfare.
Again, that endangerment finding was made earlier this month and found that because greenhouse gases endanger public health and welfare, it triggers U.S. EPA authority under the Clean Air Act. The U.S. EPA now has the authority to regulate big and small greenhouse gas emitters, and it, says Brian Indris, does not have to offer up a carbon offset. The endangerment finding leaves agriculture exposed.
The reason it would be exposed is because there's no opportunity, or at least there's no statutory opportunity for offsets under EPA regulation. And so you'd have the rise in input prices, but not the ability to sell offsets to the regulated industries.
Offsets that are included in the cap and trade legislation. Essentially, then, the endangerment finding has boxed in the greenhouse gas emitters, including corn farmers. It remains to be seen if they can pick their way out of that corner. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. If you'd like to learn more about how U.S. EPA has newfound authority under the Clean Air Act to regulate emissions and what Brian Indris had to say, you can do that. He made a presentation last week during the Ag Econ Summits that I traveled to and hosted all week across the state of Illinois. And they're up on the FarmDoc website as PowerPoint presentations. Brian and company should be posting some of their audio up there as well. The address is www.farmdoc.illinois.edu. And you can find a link there to download directly his PowerPoint presentation as a PDF file if you'd like to learn more. Now time to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural cash grain markets on a Monday afternoon. We're joined today by Greg Johnson of the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
As I was talking earlier with Pete Manhart from Bates Commodities, that trip around the state I made last week hosting the FarmDoc meetings let me know that there was an awful lot of corn left in the northwestern part of the state. I bet you've been hearing about that, but that you're not taking a whole lot of corn in at this point. Am I right or am I wrong?
We still have probably a half a dozen people that haven't finished up yet. And with the snow this morning, it was slow going. But I think this afternoon people are able to go. And with the weather forecast the way it is, I think people are going to try to go as much as they can today and tomorrow ahead of that weather. So I keep saying two or three more days and we should finish up some people, but I think I've been saying that for two or three weeks now, and it just doesn't seem to want to finish. So, and some of these guys still have 200 to 300 acres, so I don't think we're going to get them done this week either, so that pushes us into next week.
It's incredible we're doing this on the shortest day of the year in the month of December. It's hard to believe, isn't it?
This has been a record, a year of a lot of firsts, and I don't remember ever taking corn in out of the field in January. But it looks like we're going to be doing that this year.
How has basis been holding up in the face of corn still in the field?
The corn basis has been terrible. It's really sold off. This corn quality is not very good, and a lot of movement is happening. So corn basis is probably down 5 to 6 cents from where it was just 10 days ago.
Your expectations is that it will stay wide?
Once harvest finishes up, it should start getting better, but maybe not until February. January could be a sloppy month for basis.
Processors in need of beans?
Yes. Basis is staying very firm on beans, even with the better yields. It just feels like bean basis. Farmers are going to move corn on rallies and hold on to the beans, so bean basis should stay pretty firm.
Your bids for the day are?
Cash corn 370 for December or January. February is 380. Beans are 986 for December or January. February 993.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, located here in Champaign County. You're listening to Illinois Public Media and the Closing Market Report. I'll be back in 2 minutes with the agricultural weather forecast.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Tom Rogers. The University of Illinois is giving an award for international achievement to the president of Ecuador. Rafael Correa won office 3 years ago, joining a group of new South American leaders on the political left. Correa will receive the Sheth International Alumni Award, given out by the U of I's Office of International Programs and Studies. Correa is a U of I alumnus with an economics doctorate. A U of I student who went back to his native Denmark to sit in on the Copenhagen Climate Conference says the agreement reached was historic, even if it wasn't seen as very comprehensive. Environmental sciences grad student Adam Lentz says one observer mentioned that the biggest news may have been the emergence of developing countries that exercised unified power. Nations failed to agree to certain binding goals on greenhouse gas emissions during the conference, which ended last Friday. Michigan's attorney general says thousands of jobs will be threatened if Asian carp invade the Great Lakes. He's asking the U.S. Supreme Court to order that shipping locks near Chicago be closed to keep out the ravenous fish detected in waterways south of the city. Officials with the agency that controls the canal system call the lawsuit disappointing. Holiday time is often a slow time for blood donations, but the demand for blood doesn't fall at the same time. That's why blood banks put out special appeals for people to come in and donate, even with vacations, bad weather, and other holiday activities competing for time. A spokeswoman with the Urbana-based Community Blood Services of Illinois says it takes about 500 donors a day to keep up with the needs of hospitals in the east-central part of the state. The agency's holding two blood drives in Champaign-Urbana tomorrow. The Salvation Army in Elgin says they've been robbed of small television sets and backpacks filled with school supplies. They are meant as holiday gifts for needy and homeless children. Police say Salvation Army employees went to retrieve items from a garage to prepare for a party when they discovered the break-in. Salvation Army Major Ken Nikolai thinks the group will have enough toys for its more than 1,000 families. I'm Tom Rogers, AM 580 News.
I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It is Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast with the folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Josh Darr is on the line with us today. Hi, Josh.
Hi, Todd. How are you?
Well, I'm very good. First of all, if you could tell me about this big storm that encompassed the eastern United States.
Certainly. Yes, it was a classic. Goes down as one of the most memorable snowstorms of the past 100 years, actually, along the East Coast. Some notable records. Philadelphia had the second highest all-time snowfall in one event with over 20 inches. And then Central Long Island broke their all-time record for one-time biggest snowfall event. Washington, D.C., sixth highest of all time. Many areas, 18 to 24 inches, isolated higher totals. Classic setup. You had an El Nino in place, an active southern Gulf Coast and East Coast storm track with a blocking area of high pressure to the north. And, man, did it just snow like a bandit out there. I lived in D.C. In the 90s, and I was there for the Blizzard 93 and the Blizzard 96, and this put those two storms to shame. So.
Well, I suppose they'll be digging out for a while. As we look at the weather here in the Midwest, it's going to turn ugly here, too.
It is. We have another storm system that's going to come out of the southern plains on Tuesday night into Wednesday, and that starts to bring rainfall, actually potentially a mix of sleet and freezing rain to most of Illinois during the day on Thursday. That then switches over to rain. This storm system is going to intensify and move very slowly, generally from Oklahoma to eastern Kansas to Iowa. What that does is, as it wraps up, brings rain. It brings a mix of freezing rain to start and sleet for central northern Illinois, all over to rain during late on Thursday, Christmas Eve night, and then as the slow storm system continues to move slowly to the northeast on Friday and Saturday, cold air comes in, snow showers on the back end. If you wanted a blizzard out of this one, you're going to have to go to Nebraska, South Dakota, and central Minnesota. That's going to be the sweet spot. They'll get 10 to 20 inches of snow, decent winds, similar to the blizzard we saw there 2 weeks ago, just not quite as large of an extent of an area.
Yeah, I didn't want a blizzard out of it.
No white Christmas here for us, unfortunately. The rain will wash away most of the snowpack we have across Illinois on Christmas Eve.
Turn your attention to the crops growing in South America very quickly.
Terrific rainfall over the weekend across Argentina, more on tap. So Argentina is continuing to be in better and better shape as the season goes on. Some wetness issues in far southern Brazil, but other than that, Brazil's in pretty good shape so far this year as well.
All right. Anything else as you look around the globe that we ought to be keeping track of?
China's going to get pretty cold here as we get to the new year. They're going to get another very good shot of Siberian air moving in. Does not look like a winter kill threat for the crops. Adequate snow cover in place, but it's been a very cold start to the winter in China so far.
Josh, thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd, and happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you as well. Josh Darr is with Chesapeake Energy. He's in Chicago, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027. Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
That is today's Closing Mark Report. I'm Todd Gleason.